gives me strength, that sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory on my own, yet in my weakness He's there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Strength is perfect. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect.
There was a guy in a taxi cab riding along, and he wanted to speak to the driver. So he leaned forward and he tapped him on the shoulder. The driver of the taxi screamed, jumped up in the air, yanked the wheel over. The car mounted the curb, demolished a lamppost, came to a stop inches from a shop window. The startled passenger said, "I didn't mean to frighten you. I just wanted to ask you something." The taxi driver said, "It's not your fault, sir. It's my first day as a cab driver. I've been driving a hearse for the last 25 years. Oh, man. Yep, that pretty well sums it up. Psalm 92, number 92. Let's go down to verse 10. "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Dr. Hiles preached that sermon note in how many times across America. That's not what I'm going to preach, but I just thought of that when I read that. "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." The title of his message was "Fresh Oil." "Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies. Mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." I like this one. "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They should be fat and flourishing." Amen. Come on, folks. Loosen up a little bit. Amen. Don't be so starchy. Amen. Smile a while and give your face a rest. Amen. "They should be fat and flourishing." I like that every time I see this bulge over my belt. Amen. "They should be fat and flourishing in their old days to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him." Go back to verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Heavenly Father, we Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. It's new every morning, fresh every day, all day long. Now, Lord, I'll be the first to admit that I think sometimes I forget that. The busy schedule of the day, the hustle and the bustle, and Lord, it's so easy to get all caught up. We just have a tendency to want to fuss and fret about every little thing that comes along. But God, I pray that you'd always remind me of your wonderful grace and your mercy and just how good you really are to me as a person. And help me to be joyful and exciting. And I think oftentimes of what Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he said for us to rejoice. Lord, I pray to you, just let us just share some wonderful things tonight in comparison with the Christian life and the palm tree that might be a blessing to us. Thank you for we have this time together to study from the Word of God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me get all cleared up here. Did a little bit of research on this. And I'll just take the information that the writer of the encyclopedias give us. We study encyclopedias, they tell us that there are over 300 different species of the palm tree. Wow. Palm trees grow from, in the early days, from 3 feet tall to over 100 feet tall. And this is amazing to me. It says there are over 3,000 uses for the palm tree. You say, what are they? I don't have any idea. I know four or five of them, but I don't know, 3,000 uses? Well, Bill, Thomas Edison, how many times did he fail before he got the light bulb? I don't know, do you? It's hundreds, though. Huh? 7,000 things he tried before he got the incandescent electric bulb to work. Now, I want to tell you something, folks, that's patience. That's endurance. Oh, I guess somewhere along the way that somebody had just discovered 3,000 uses of the palm tree. But I'm going to make some comparisons using the palm tree and compare it with you and me as Christians. There's some interesting characteristics about a palm tree. Number one, the palm tree will bend, but it will not break. Say that again. It will bend, but it won't break. I mean, it's just like rubber. It'll bend, but it won't break. Winds and storms attacked it, but it always endures the storms. I've been in tropical areas often. Hawaii, Florida, Bahamas. I was in the Bahamas shortly after a hurricane came through there 8 or 10 years ago. Did some damage to the palm trees, but the palm trees were still there when there was nothing else. Those palm trees were still standing tall. Now they had some limbs gone, had some leaves gone, but the palm tree was still standing tall. If you'll notice the countries where tropical storms and hurricanes are often very common, look around and see what kind of trees they have there. Be those palm trees. Shows the wisdom of God. God knew those storms are going to come, the hurricanes, tropical storms, and so forth. Palm trees are there, and they always survive the storms. Now, having said that, have you noticed that your life, my life, is oftentimes just a series of storms? I mean, they're going to happen. Most of you, somewhere along the way, you've been through a storm. If you haven't, guess what? One's brewing. One's brewing. Then you look back and you realize how God took care of you. I almost drowned when I was 14 years of age. I would have hadn't been my dad. I was already down. Still conscious. Lungs full of water. Boy, I remember the touch of my daddy's hand. I was on bottom. But the touch of my daddy's hand, when he pulled me up, I was sick for a week. Almost drowned. I dodged another bullet when I was 19 years of age. You've heard me tell the story of my friend, Lyndall Joe Douthat. I don't think I've ever told my wife this. Here we go. Y'all ready for this one? The only reason, I hate to say this, but it's true. The reason that I wasn't in that car with him is I stood a girl up. Lord, forgive me for that, but I did. We had a double date, and I opted not to go. Didn't you have any idea? I said, I'm not going. And I didn't. Be honest with you, I hadn't thought of that in years until I was putting together some notes for this. I've dodged bullets twice, almost drowned. Little Joe and I, he had a 57 Chevrolet, I had a 58 Chevrolet. One day we'd take his car, the next day we'd take mine. We worked at the same place. We lived next door to each other. We just went together, take turns driving our cars. And all of a sudden, I just said, I'm not going. And I just cruised the streets in Newport, Arkansas. And at 15 minutes till midnight, he pulled up the side of me with his girlfriend. He said, I'll be back in 30 minutes. Wait on me. I said, I'm tired. I'm going home. I'll see you in the morning. The last words I ever spoke to him. Got killed 2 miles from the house. These have been with him. You look back, have you ever thought how many times God spared you? Even before you got saved, God had an umbrella of protection around you and took care of you. I look back over those things and I think, boy, that's two strikes. All these years, the third one hadn't happened, but it could. But it could. Wow. Life's just a series of storms. The Christian's life is often driven by storms. We're either getting over one or we're just getting ready to go into one. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. I have no idea. I have plans for tomorrow, but God may have other plans. And He may step in and change those plans anytime. And we need to understand that. There's an interesting story in Matthew 14. Not going to turn there. Just kind of share it with you and I'll move along. I'll know where to quit here after a while. Jesus, now think about this. Jesus purposely sent those 12 apostles into a storm. He said, get in that ship and cross over to the other side. You say, how do you know He purposely sent them into that storm? Because He knew that storm was brewing. He not only knows the past and the present, He knows the future. He knew that storm was coming. And sure enough, it did. He was down in the lower parts of the ship on a pillow. I'm sure glad somebody loaned him a pillow. That shows the human side of him. He was tired and weary. Storm came. They cried out just like you would or I would. They said, carest thou not that we perish? I said, Lord, don't you care? I said, do something. He stepped out on the deck of that ship, said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. The storm ceased and the waves ceased. O ye of little faith, He would say to them. Boy, that fits me to a T. O dawn of little faith. See, God doesn't always calm the storm. He sometimes elects to just steady the boat. To know the worth of the anchor, you have to feel the storm. I like that song we sang. My anchor holds. Be sure your anchor is anchored to the rock. And that rock is Jesus. Amen. The palm tree will bend, but it will not break. Here's something else about that palm tree. A palm tree breaks the bands that are put around it. How many of you guys have ever cut down an oak tree or something? You just got that new chainsaw, got that new chain, and I mean it's sharp. And you cut into that, and all of a sudden, right in the heart of that oak tree, you hit some nails or some wire that tree has grown around. You cut into a palm tree, you'll never find anything in the middle of it. The palm tree breaks the bands. No matter what it is, it breaks the band. It doesn't grow and overlap and seal anything inside. The heart of a palm tree is pure. You put a band around it, as it grows and expands, it'll break the band every single time. You know, also about this palm tree, the older that tree gets, the sweeter its fruit is. Think about that. Many trees, Brother Bill, when they get old, they quit bearing fruit. Have to get rid of them. Replant, replace. But a palm tree, the older it gets, the sweeter its fruit. You know, I'm like some of you. I've been mean as a rascal my life. I'm talking about a saved rascal. Temperamental and so forth. And I can still do that. But my goal for the last years has been I want to grow old and sweet. Not old and bitter. And I mean that. I'm working hard at that. You say, yeah, I'm working hard at it. It may come easy for you, but not for me. I'm working hard at it. I won't be the pawpaw that my grandkids just want to gravitate to. I come early. My office door's open. One of them come in a while ago and said, read Barney. I read Barney so many times, I memorized Barney. Amen. I want to grow old and sweet. Because I've been mean all my life. Amen. I want to learn from that palm tree. The older that tree gets, the sweeter its fruit. Our last days ought to be our best days. And I want that to be true in my ministry. I want my last days to be my best days. That's why I preach or teach somewhere every night if I have the opportunity. I go out every day. I give tracts out. I keep tracts in my pocket all the time. I stop and get a burger. I'll leave a track. My wife's with me. She'll say, don't forget to leave a track now. Okay? I think Vicki came to church the other day and she said, did you eat Hardee's the other day? I said, yeah, sure did. She said, I knew it had to be you. I said, why? She said, I found a track on the table, Trinity Baptist Church. I thought about that a minute and I said, I'm the culprit. Yeah, that's me. That's me. I like to be used. I really do. I like to be used. I didn't say abused. I like to be used in the Lord's work. I want to be a blessing to folk. I want to have the kind of attitude that folk want to be around me. I mean, I don't want to be old and mean and bitter where folks say, hey, how you doing? And then want to get away from it. I want to be like a magnet. I want folks to enjoy being around me. I'm already old, amen. Well, in fact, we was cutting up for church. I said, you're getting old. And I said, what do you mean getting? I done got. Amen. All we got to do is change that E to an O. No, I ain't getting old. I've done got old. But I want to be sweet. I want to be kind. And I want to be gracious in my older days. You know, Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's a good word. Mortify. You ever heard the word mortician? Rigor mortis? All related words. When Paul said mortify the deeds of the flesh, he was simply saying put to death. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Well, let me move along a little bit. I'll quit here in just a little bit. In fact, I think I've got a note here. Kind of giving me a reminder here, so you need to stop right here. Okay? Proverbs 5:22 says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. And listen to this. And he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Now I'm talking about that palm tree has the ability, as it grows, if there's a band or something around it, it'll pop that band. It'll pop that band. Also in Psalm 107, let me see if I got this one marked. Psalm 107, verse 10, says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Then verse 13, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death." Look at this. "And break their bands in sunder." And break their bands in sunder. I won't turn there, but in Romans chapter 6, Paul had so much to say about that, about how that we're to break the bands of sin and put to death the things of the flesh. Here's another one. The palm tree not only survives, but it flourishes in the desert. Flourishes in the desert. Now, how in the world could a palm tree flourish in a desert? Well, you research by observation also, you understand why it does. Now, I have in our backyard a non-bearing mulberry tree. Brother Doyle helped me prune that thing a year or so ago, and we made one mistake. Benda was gone, and we should have cut it down and didn't. That thing is hollow in the middle. This is the right kind of storm come along. It's going to take care of that thing. It's going to help us out. Should have got ripped that day, but it didn't. Hollow in the middle. So we have no limit for the children. Stay away from that thing, because there might be a snake down inside that thing. You know. Lord, send a storm, get rid of that thing. Just don't bother anything else around there. Get rid of that thing. But everywhere I look in my yard, especially the last 3 or 4 weeks when it got so dry, you find a little leaf of that thing. Little sprouts come up. One of them in the front yard. That tree's in the backyard. Now that tells me that that root was lateral. And it went all the way under my house and popped up where the dew drips off the eave in the front, searching for water. Lateral roots. Now, oak tree, mulberry, hickory, especially out here, they run their roots lateral, searching for water. Because below is rock, solid rock. They haven't any other choice. Pine trees, don't ever put pine trees in your front yard. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. I've got four of them. It's on that deep to rock. There's roots as big as my arm on top of the ground. Can't even mow over them. Have to go around them. Then have to weed eat. Or rather get Roundup and spray around them and so forth. Lateral. But you know the reason that palm tree survives in the desert? Not because of lateral roots, but because of deep, 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 deep roots. They go down. Now, you know why we get in trouble oftentimes in our Christian life? Because we spread ourselves lateral instead of deep. You see, it's so easy to want the best of two worlds. We won't go to heaven when we die, right? We won't be sure we're saved. That's all positive. But we still have to deal with this. The flesh. Still got to deal with it. Well, see, the spirit runs deep. But guess what the flesh does? It runs lateral. The flesh wants to spread out. The flesh wants to go to Hollywood. Amen. The flesh wants to take on the world's baggage. Spread ourselves lateral when we ought to be getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word of God. Dig deep. Now, I didn't say dig deep and come up dry. But dig deep in this book. Feast on this book. Dig deep in it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's why I began, and I'll close with what I began with. When I get to the book of Daniel, I have to dig deep. I'm studying the book of Jeremiah now. I've already studied through the book of Isaiah. The book of Jeremiah. I have to be very careful to be sure that I'm keeping it in the right context. And that I know which king he's talking about. And be sure I understand that he's in the temple when he issues the right kind of message. And that they arrest him and want to put him to death. And I understand what he's talking about when he says, because of your idolatry and because of your rebellion, you're going to go into under the supervision of Nebuchadnezzar, and you're going to be there through him, his son, and his sons, all the way through the grandson, a period of 70 years. And I want to tell you something. You got to dig deep to get all that straightened out. And I'm still digging deeper and deeper and deeper. I get to the New Testament. I love it. I'm reading through the book of Matthew. I just love reading it over and over and over. This book that I'm preaching out of, I was in the office a few minutes ago and I thought, man, boy, look at there. Man, I mean, just every page I've got something written. Look at all the underlining I've got and so forth. And every time I read through it, I underline some more. Brother Bob, I guess I'll just have somebody send me a book and everything's underlined in it. All the way through. Save me a lot of work, Brother Bill. But don't just go lateral. Don't go the way of the world. Get excited about being saved. Dig deep in the book. Be like that old palm tree. Keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. How deep are your roots? Let's stand together.